Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this just burns my biscuits. This is Wretched Radio. A study was just done in the Presbyterian Church. Yeah, I know it's USA, which is the liberal branch of Presbyterianism in the States. Nevertheless, they asked their pastors if they felt competent to counsel, and the resounding answer was, no, I don't. I have no ability to counsel people who have a, quote, mental illness, end quote. How can it be that 44% of PCUSA ministers aren't trained to handle mental health issues in church? That's what the survey said. Another 22% responded that their mental health training was on the job or learn as they go. How would you feel if you were sitting in that there Presbyterian church? You've got an issue, you've got a struggle, and your pastor just going to kind of learn as he goes. Shouldn't this really be like Pastor 102? 101 would be rightly dividing the word of truth. Wouldn't 102 be counseling? Wait a second. It's not just the Presbyterians who apparently aren't so equipped to counsel. A Lifeway study. I guess if the book business is struggling, you might as well do some more research. A Lifeway Research, the polling and research division of the Southern Baptist Convention, has shown 10% of pastors say they hold a graduate degree in counseling, while 38% said they've taken graduate level courses in counseling. That means a lot of them have not. The research found, and this is the part that burns my biscuits, 76% of pastors say they refer church members to a professional counselor. I'm sorry, but a pastor who is not competent to counsel should probably take a really hard look at whether or not that they can satisfy the demands of the position. They say 75% of pastors say they refer members to professional counselor if they seek more than 2 counseling sessions. Well, that could just get too profound. Do you know there is indeed a resource for these pastors and for VU, Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, counseling done biblically by not just the pastor, but people in the congregation who take on the burdens of others and counsel them biblically in a competent fashion. A 2014 Lifeway survey found that 14% of churches, my biscuits are burning, have a counselor trained in mental health on staff. Now, I'm pretty sure that it's grown since 2014, but probably not exponentially. If your church doesn't have at least one person, depending on the size, who is equipped, certified to counsel, please, please be there for your people. I'm telling you, they are hurting. Perhaps you've experienced this, maybe because you're getting older and you're asking wiser questions, but I double dog dare you to have a conversation with a fellow believer and ask them, so tell me, how are your emotions? How are you feeling these days? Not just how you doing, fine, good, we're done. That's the American way to do it. No. How are your emotions? How are your feelings? How are you coping these days? Any struggles going on in your family life, marriage, raising your kids, relatives, work situation, next door neighbors? And you're going to discover people have struggles. And if anybody should be equipped to counsel our fellow believers, it shouldn't just be the pastor, it should be all of us. Is biblical counseling really up to the task of dealing with psychological issues? Well, I would ask you, are psychologists and psychiatrists up to the task? Quick, tell me about the anxiety brain study, the depression brain study, the anger brain study. Sure, you can see certain things like somebody's noodle is firing off a little bit hotter in their frontal lobes. Yep, you can see that. That doesn't fix the problem. Now, you can serotonin things if you'd like to, but it doesn't fix the problem. Biblical counseling does. Just a quick nota bene. Yes, there are times when medication is needed. They are the exception, not the rule. Don't change your medication based on this diatribe. But the church needs to be the place where they go. Have you noticed, if you still watch cable news, I was noticing before I unplugged, whenever there was a tragedy, who do they bring to the panel? A professional psychiatrist or psychologist, somebody who teaches at MIT or someplace. Probably wouldn't be MIT. You get the point. It would probably be some Ivy League professor who's a doctor in psychology to tell us how we're supposed to feel. And they are not scientific in their approach. Emotions are so profoundly complex. There aren't studies. Now, they do some of their studies, and they can do some observing, which can be helpful, but it is extremely limited, and it doesn't go the next mile, which is, how do you help people with their issues? I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers a personal data inventory. Because this is the beginning of biblical counseling, which typically lasts 12 weeks. That's a standard. And you might even be thinking, 12 weeks, is that long enough to help somebody with their emotional issue? Does that really get it done? And the answer is no, it doesn't. But here's what biblical counseling does. After you have gone through 12 weeks of biblical counseling, you are integrated into your local church so that the ongoing growth can take place in the context of the local church. Biblical counseling begins with a personal data inventory. That's what I have. It asks for your personal identification, marriage and family. So basically, this is like a super long form, like you have to fill out at the doctor's office. Describe your relationship to your father. Describe your relationship to your mother. Health. Describe your health. Do you have issues? When was your last physical exam? Do you drink alcohol, coffee, smoke? Have you ever had severe emotional upset? Have you ever seen a psychiatrist? Hold on, now it gets into spiritual, denominational preference, church attendance. Have you ever been baptized? How often do you read the Bible? Then there are some health questions for women only. And then this is perhaps the one that might shock you the most. This is the problem checklist. What is biblical counseling competent to counsel? People are asked, would you please check any of these boxes that you think apply to you? Ready? Anger, anxiety, apathy, appetite, bitterness, change in lifestyle, children, communication, conflict, deception, decision-making, depression, drunkenness. Envy, fear, finances, gluttony, guilt, health, homosexuality, impotence, in-laws, loneliness, lust. Memory, moodiness, perfectionism, rebellion, sex, sleep, wife abuse, a vice, other. What? The Bible can speak to all of those things, and that to me is the big issue that really burns my biscuits. Whether it's PCUSA, Baptist, it doesn't matter. It's the pastors who believe that they have to give a business card to somebody who has an emotional issue so they can go see a professional because they don't believe in the sufficiency of the Bible. They probably aren't even aware of how much it speaks to the human heart, which is something psychology will never do. Read through your Bible and see the emphasis on the heart. And ask yourself the question, if a psychiatrist or psychologist is never exploring the heart beyond how does that make you feel, if they're not able to deal with that, that's the beginning of the whole process. It's the heart that needs to be addressed, which is the totality of the person. And then, based on this PDI, which is an inventory gathering device, somebody's going to check off a lot of boxes. Seriously, how many would you have checked off in that list? I mean, would any of us have checked none? There are going to be some struggles in there someplace, aren't there? And many people check off many. So that raises a question. All right, somebody has 7 items. Some people will have 12, 15 items checked. How does a biblical counselor figure out what to do? It almost seems overwhelming. And the answer is sufficiency. We are either going to, as evangelicals, believe in the sufficiency of the Bible, and it will manifest itself in how we deal with people in our church with emotional struggles. Will we continue to send them down the street, or will we do biblical counseling? This is Wretched Radio. Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
I know you didn't think we could do it, but hey, we did, and we've over-delivered on Road Trip to Truth Season 2. It's here now, and it's on sale at roadtriptotruth.org or wretched.org/roadtrip. Don't miss out on all new topics and new experts with, of course, the same great host, John Fabares. Road Trip to Truth Season 2 and all of our resources are made possible by the support of our gospel partners. If you're a gospel partner already, we want to say thank you. Your generous gifts have made it possible for Wretched, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Worldview, our drive-by series, or our new upcoming television series, Transform, to be created and reach millions of people all over the world. Thank you so much to our gospel partners. If you're not already a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? Just visit wretched.org/donate to find out how you can support our goal in reaching the world with the gospel. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini Master Seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the Master Seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 1559. John Knox returns to Scotland to lead Reformation there after a period of exile in Calvin's Geneva. Knox founded the Presbyterian Church, which became a driving force in English politics and the American Revolution.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
That wasn't even the long list. This is Wretched Radio. This is a personal data inventory form. I just flipped the page from the section that asks you to list all of the struggles that you have. And this one says problem severity. Please rate how these items that you struggle with impact your life. Blank, no significant impact. 1, mild. 2, moderate. 3, severe. And it has many of the same issues that were on the other problem checklist. But there's even more on here. Issues like isolation. There are so many people that feel that and they don't know how to cope with that. Weariness. Time usage. Biblical counseling deals with these issues. Sexual immorality. Procrastination. Pornography. Perfectionism. Oh, wait, what? Perfectionism, is that a problem? I thought it was good to want to make sure that everything is done correctly. Well, yeah. But if you are an individual who is obsessed with perfectionism, might need to find just a little bit of balance in what that looks like and a recognition that try as we might, we can't do everything perfectly. This list deals with memory, moodiness, loneliness, laziness. There's another one that I don't think was on the other form. These are all the things that biblical counseling is competent to handle. This is a personal data inventory that you would fill out if you go to a biblical counselor or if you become a biblical counselor, which I would encourage you to do at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. You can actually help people. I'm reading a book currently called Scripture and Counseling, God's Word for Life in a Broken World. I wonder if our churches are fully aware of the need of our people. I just wonder, with all of the activities and the things that we get busy with, all very fine things, if we've maybe bought the lie that everybody is doing fine. I'm fine. How are you? Fine. Good. Have a good week. Hey, great week. How was your week? Good. Okay, let's go get some donuts. And that's the totality of the exploration of the heart that we have with one another. And I wonder if we therefore have concluded, because we've been perhaps influenced by Facebook, Instagram, and social media, that everybody's basically doing way better than you are. In fact, you're the only one who has struggles. No, you're not. Everybody does. Some require no counseling to this degree, but many do. 14% of Baptist pastors are trained in biblical counseling. 14%. That number's got to go up. And the number of congregants that are also equipped, that's got to go up too. What does the Bible say about people? Well, it talks about the moral and motivational control center of the person, known as the heart. Two descriptors of people that have no place in the thinking of secular psychologists. One is the heart. The other is humans are made in the image of God. We are designed to be, but designed by God to be like God for God's purposes. Secular psychology, they'll never even, this won't even come up. And this, I am persuaded that this is one of the biggest dangers to the church, inside of the church, is people's struggle to connect their faith with their feelings, to connect their theology with their living. And this, in a way, it's because I don't think it's just a Greek Platonic sort of thing. I think that it's just kind of the way we are. We think that faith is over here, but then I got stuff I've got to really deal with here. Yeah, I go to church. I do a Bible study on occasion, but I've got some financial issues. That's the important stuff here. Well, no, raising the kids. And I was spending some time with Dr. Steve Lawson. And Steve Lawson, while he wasn't busy hurting me, man, every time the guy just plows into me on purpose. I think it's like some sort of ram thing. I think that's what it is. That Steve, I think he's got some sort of, he's a ram. He's part ram, where he just wants to boink you to let you know he's present, which you always know with Steve Lawson because his laugh precedes him. Steve Lawson and I were chatting about the number of people statistically that in their 50s, early 60s get divorced after 30, 40 years of marriage. And I asked Steve, why do you suppose? And what should somebody do about it? I would ask you that same question. What would come to mind for you? Well, here's what perhaps a secular psychologist would do. They might explore your childhood to see how you're feeling about things. They might talk about how it is that you don't feel fulfilled. Now, they have no way of filling in those gaps. Well, maybe you should just play more tennis. Maybe, what if you got in the tennis league? Maybe that will help you just, you know, separate. So you're not together so much now that you're empty nesting. Couch time, date night, go on trips. Okay, all very nice information. Steve Lawson had none of it. I said, tell me why you think that these people are getting divorced. Brace yourself for this like only Steve Lawson can. Don't forget, he's a ram. They're spiritually immature. What? They're spiritually immature. Whoa. And I was so annoyed at myself that I wasn't like, of course that's the reason. I was like, wait, whoa. They've drifted apart. They became too kid-centric. All accurate descriptors, most likely. But underneath that would be the issue of our personal walk with the Lord. That is what is lacking. And I said, so what do you recommend that somebody does to stay happily married until they die? And that does them part. And he said, like only the ram can. Grow up. Quit playing around with your Christian faith. Grow up now. Start growing in maturity. Start studying your Bible more. Start living your life. Start orienting yourself around Jesus Christ. And I was once again reminded that that is what biblical counseling is all about. It is the need that we all have to be reminded that whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do it for the glory of God. Okay, everybody pretty much knows that verse if you've gone to church for 6 weeks or more. What does that look like? How do I eat to the glory of God? How do I drink to the glory of God? How do I do this? And I think the answer in most churches is, shh, 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 shh. We've got a new sermon series on finances coming up. We've got a new series on dating. We've got a new series on parenting. Help me connect my faith with my feelings. And there is a horrid disconnect. And it is the need of our day. It is the need of every day, being able to take the Bible and actually have it work. So how can you do that? How can your faith become more genuine? How can you go about the business of becoming a meat eater and not a milk drinker? Because if your relationship with your Savior is strong, your relationship with your spouse is going to be fine. Then you can do couch time, plan your vacations, fine. But the issue that is crucial is the individual's relationship with the Lord. And you know this if you're unequally yoked or you're far more mature than your spouse is. You know how hard marriage is in those instances. There's not a well. There are no resources that you can tap into to go to help your marriage because you're dealing with somebody who is not eating meat. How do we do that? If you're not growing in your love for the Lord in maturity, you are simply in danger. You're just asking for trouble. And maybe today is the day that you need to hear somebody hopefully lovingly say to you, friend, it is time to stop playing. It is time to grow up. It is time to work on your relationship with the Lord and have it be the centerpiece of everything that you do. That you are living your life, you are doing your thing, but in it you are serving the Lord, trying to please Him, and doing all of the things that He commands us to do. Legalist? No, He commands us to do things. And if you want to be mature, if you want to grow, if you want to be more emotionally stable, I would encourage you, let today be the day that you begin to grow up. Read your Bible, study your Bible. Meditate on your Bible. And then here's the biggie. Apply your Bible. If it's in your noggin, you're going to act it out if you've meditated on Scripture. May I ask you, is today the day that you need to become a meat eater? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, what's your definition of normal? Because it's probably not this. A biological male, you know, a man from birth, has been named the Sports Woman of the Year by the Otago Daily Times in New Zealand. Gavin Hubbard, you may remember, he was the guy that dressed up like a woman and competed against real women in the Summer Olympics. Oh, and yeah, by the way, he lost to the real women? Well, this news outlet thinks he needs to be recognized as an outstanding female athlete ahead of actual female athletes. I guess it's kind of like saying that the Otago Daily Times should be recognized as an outstanding news source, because they're neither outstanding or a legitimate news source. But for them, this is normal and exceptional. But for the rest of us, it's just plain weird. Well, have you ever heard of an equity audit? Well, apparently it's something that finds ways you're being racist and gives you advice on steps you should take not to be racist anymore. Take Sunrise Park Middle School in Minnesota. Recently, they had an equity audit that revealed that by giving students F's, well, that's made them racist. And of course, they can't have that, so a new policy has been implemented, a no F policy. It's kind of long, I read through it, but here's the gist. Any grade that a student receives below 50% is automatically bumped up to 50%. So basically, that means a kid could do absolutely nothing and still get 50%. And even then, he won't receive an F, because that's racist, remember? Now, he'll get an I, which means, and I don't exactly know what it means because they didn't explain it, but what I do know is that self-proclaimed smart people are making stupid policies, and it's hurting kids and our country's future. And finally, the National School Board Association, which I presume represents all public school boards across the country, has recently done something not so very smart. Last week, they drafted and sent a letter to President Biden with a request for federal assistance to stop threats and acts of violence against public school children, public school board members, and other public school officials. Well, that sounds awful, and I'm totally on board with that request. Well, I would be if that was actually what they were requesting, but further digging reveals that, sadly, that is not what they're actually requesting. They're actually asking the Biden administration to start labeling parents who speak out at school board meetings as domestic terrorists. So what they're wanting is, if a citizen attempts to hold an elected official, which is what a school board member is, accountable, then they should be labeled as terrorists. That's communism, people, and the national arm of your local school board wants it that way. I think it's high time we all start to seriously consider if this is who we want to really be in charge of our kids' education. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Mark was a follower of Christ, traveling companion of Paul, an associate of Peter. His gospel presents Jesus as the Son of God. Here, Jesus is the perfect example of self-sacrifice, the suffering servant who died as a ransom for our sins. When you suffer for obedience to Christ, do not be ashamed, for Christ suffered and died for our disobedience. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What exactly is the goal? This is Wretched Radio. If you struggle with any emotional issues and you seek help, which is a good thing to do, our churches should be a culture that allows people to say, help, I'm struggling. Help, I'm needy in the moment. I really need somebody to walk alongside me, and I'm not going to be ashamed to actually admit I'm struggling with something. I'm telling you, everybody does. Consider Jimmy. Oh, the issues that he has. Honestly.
Hey, I thought I told you that in confidence.
I thought you were doing something else right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, I know this guy. Is there anybody? Seriously, Jimmy, in your experience, meeting people, if you ever get to get underneath the hood just a little bit, is the engine always running perfectly for people?
Oh, absolutely not.
It's...
No one.
No one.
Mm-mm.
And I'm just wondering that maybe, just maybe, if you have been feeling like, what can I do? The world, it seems to be coming increasingly untethered from any sort of wisdom. Total foolishness, utter chaos. What could you do? Maybe this is what you could do. You could become equipped to counsel and help people with their mess. You could do that. And I'm thinking increasingly we need to be turning our attention to that endeavor. Now, it might not be counseling, but serving in your church, attending your church, going to your church studies, being on the prayer list, bringing some meals to people. I gave up on this years ago. It dawned on me that so many podcasts and so much cable TV, it is just designed to make you furious and to keep pouring gasoline on it to keep those flames stoked. Because it works. It's funny. We talk about liberals and how they'll use fear as a tactic to gain power. Yep, that is very true. That's historical. You can see that all throughout history. Bad people use fear to get to coerce people and to force them to do what they do. I think we're seeing that right now. COVID. Sorry, little thing right there. I'm not getting the COVID. I'm just saying. They use fear to control. But is it possible that you and I are being controlled by fear on the other side of the aisle? I don't know how I get some of these things, but I get some of these things. Emails from organizations that are talking about the politics stuff. And I'm telling you, every single headline is like, couldn't be more sensationalistic than the last one. Just nothing but bad. And then it's accompanied by, we're not going to take this anymore. That's it. It's enough of this. We put up with this long enough. If we don't stand up now, it's going to totally get out of control. Okay. Interesting conversation from an American perspective. I'm a Christian first, and I'm asking, what could I actually do? Because I unplugged in part because I was tired of being whipped into a frenzy, agitated, annoyed with the world, being told I got to do something, but never being told what to do. Watch for that. Listen, even the good guys that you maybe enjoy listening to, ask the question, are they helping you to improve the situation, or are they simply getting you inflamed? Because fear works. You know what? If we don't win the midterms, I'm just telling you, it's the end. It's just the end. There's no way we can recover from this. Have you heard those messages? No. I'm not even saying those messages aren't true. But when I hear those messages, and then I'm told I got to do something, but I'm never told what to do, it can leave you feeling pretty hopeless. There's something that we could do for one another. We could be involved in our local church, actually serving and doing stuff. You could do something. Do the dishes. Take out the garbage. You could do something to help the body of Christ to be strong. And you could help people by becoming a biblical counselor to have a different goal than secular psychology does. Their goal is to help you function, to be happier. Biblical counseling doesn't strive for happiness. It's too low of a fruit. Biblical counseling points people to holiness, to sanctification, to glorifying God in everything that they do. A book that I'm reading called Scripture and Counseling, The Christ-Centeredness of Biblical Counseling. We believe that Scripture forms our counseling theory and practice. The Bible doesn't inform our counseling. Nope, forms it, shapes it, structure. You don't build some ideas and then go find some Bible verses. No, the Bible totally dictates how this is going to go down when you're trying to help somebody. The Bible drives counseling. A biblical counseling approach does not arise from elsewhere, only to be supported or supplemented by Scripture. The Bible both creates and propels our approach. And if that's true, and it is, there's two implications to that. Our counseling will reflect the Bible's central theme. Jesus. Have you received Christian counseling? Were they driving you to Jesus perpetually, incessantly, non-stoppingly? Was that their aim? To get your life oriented around the one who, around whom we should be oriented? This is the life is so simple. It's so simple, really. Oh, I know there's issues, finances, work. I got it. But we've basically got one marching order. Love the Lord your God. Love him. And out of that, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Because in loving neighbor, you're actually loving God. It's not like your affections are torn, because the statement, if you take a look at the math, doesn't actually add up. If you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, how can you love your neighbor as yourself? You can't, because there's nothing left, because it's all going to God. And that is because the Bible isn't bad at math. It's because loving neighbor is loving God. Serving people is serving God. Doing my job is working for the Lord. Playing is using this body to enjoy the stuff that God has provided for us. It all revolves around Him. Does your counseling do that? That would be one of the implications of biblical counseling. Your counseling will reflect the Bible's central theme, and it will reflect the Bible's central ministry vision to bring Jesus to needy people and to help them know, love, and follow Him. Any form of counseling worthy of the name biblical must highlight the Bible's central figure, Jesus. Question. If that's true for you and me, our problem is that we're not focusing on Jesus enough, because that's what we're supposed to be focusing on. Now, it doesn't mean that every thought that's in your noggin is about Jesus. You do your job, you do your tasks, but you're doing them for Him, checking in with Him, dedicating your time and your energy and your strength and your finances to Him, so that you're doing everything for His glory. Does that describe your parenting? Does that describe your marriage? Does that describe your approach to work? If not, it needs to be reoriented, and that is, honestly, I think the greatest need of the day. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It makes me weary when I hear the word gospel these days. I have to confess to you, I've grown a little bit tired of hearing that word, because it has been so overused. It's gospel, 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 but nobody's talking about Jesus. Oh, our gospel. Don't we have an amazing gospel? Actually, what we've got is an amazing Savior. That's what we've got. We don't have just an event. No, we have a person. And He's the one around whom our life should revolve. And I would like to encourage you, if it's not, I can probably tell you why you might be having that particular struggle. Whatever it is, marriage, emotions, family, finances, whatever. It's simply because we are not thinking about the central theme of the Bible. What does Christ-centered counseling look like? How can we make our counseling more Christ-driven? There are 5 marks. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't think I'm going to become a biblical counselor. Fine. Not everybody has to become a biblical counselor at biblicalcounseling.com. But these 5 marks of biblical counseling will reorient you. It'll reorient your parenting. It will reorient your life. Why? Because the Bible is sufficient and it has the power to do so. We will study those 5 marks that are life changers next on Wretched Radio. If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
You know, there are a ton of things people partner in. Some have business partners. Some have workout partners. Everybody needs accountability partners. Then there are partners in crime, which I don't recommend. You've got marriage partners, which I do recommend. And of course, we can't forget the wretched gospel partner. Our gospel partners make what we're able to do here at Wretched possible. Without you guys, there is no Wretched. You have faithfully and consistently helped Wretched reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we humbly thank you. And if you haven't done so, would you please prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner with Wretched? You can know that your generous gifts will be faithfully stewarded away. So would you, number one, please pray for us? And number two, would you also pray about how you could support Wretched as a monthly gospel partner? Get more details on how you can do just that right now at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate.
If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the bridegroom. Christians are waiting for Christ's return, which the book of Revelation describes as the wedding of the Lamb. Christ will come to usher his bride, his church, into eternity with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
5 marks that are life changers. This is Wretched Radio. Jay Adams addressing the faculty and students at the University Psychiatric Clinic in Vienna. Jay Adams, who is one of the founders of what we call today biblical counseling, it used to be called nouthetic counseling, summarized the disunity across the field of psychotherapy. And one of the things, the issues that, well, deficiencies that he pointed out was a lack of any objective standard to assess health versus disorder. How do psychologists who don't use the Bible even know what is out of order? They don't have a mark. They don't have a line. They don't have a standard. Biblical counseling does. And if we can get a handle on these marks of biblical counseling, we will not only apply it to others, but we will apply it to ourselves. Here's what Jay Adams said. You may say that society is the standard, or you may say pragmatically that what works is the standard, or that the counselee is the standard. But when you finally boil it all down and strip off the externals, what you have left is this. The individual psychotherapist determines the standard. The problem of subjectivity is enormous. And this is why biblical counseling is so exceptional and different. It has the standard. It walks us through what we're supposed to look like. There has to be a standard and a model that confirms to it, so we can both know and see what human beings should look like. We have to have a picture of what a human should look like if we're going to try to change people. Where are we going to get such a picture? Is there anybody in the Bible that reflects how we're supposed to think, feel, act? Well, sure, you've got some object lessons in different people, but you've got one who captures the essence of everything that we're supposed to be feeling, thinking, and doing. Jesus Christ. And that is one of the marks of biblical counseling. It's really the biggie. That Jesus is the centerpiece of biblical counseling and your thinking. When it comes to emotions, when it comes to decisions, when it comes to conflict, we should immediately be going, what can I think about Jesus here that will instruct me and help me in this moment? Is there anything? And we take a look at studying the life of Jesus, and we can find what we need in him and in Scripture to reorient our life and to have an actual standard. Mark number one of biblical counseling that will change your counseling in your life, Jesus' teaching as our final understanding of Scripture. That we understand all of life and godliness through the Bible, and that Jesus is the centerpiece of that. Mark number two, Jesus as our perfect example of godly humanity. Christ-centered counseling is not counselor-centered, seeking to conform people into our desired image, or client-centered, seeking to conform people into their desired image. It is person-centered with a capital P. We point people to a person who is external to us and to them, seeking to conform them into the objective image of Jesus. Want an example? This book, Scripture and Counseling, has one. In helping people learn to speak in godly ways, biblical counselors often point their counselees to Ephesians 4:29, Proverbs 12:18. What's supposed to flow from our mouth? Epistles that command, or wisdom literature that describes godly speech. But we often bypass the biblical snapshots of Jesus, the one prophetically described as the most excellent of men, whose lips have been anointed with grace. If the temple guards were indeed correct, no one ever spoke the way this man does. Then we have much left to mine out of the Jesus model. He did it all right. And that means that if you're gonna jump to the Proverbs and you're going to teach your kids, all right, kids, I'm gonna teach you about the importance of hard work. Here it is, a little rest, a little slumber, a little of the folding of the hands. Sluggard, look at the ant. Look at how he works. And we can use that proverb, certainly, and say, so don't be a sluggard. Work like an ant, son. But where's Jesus? Where would you go to show your kids that Jesus worked really hard? You could take him to probably most specifically, if you want to really get a sense of how hard Jesus worked, take a look at the Gospel of Mark. Immediately, 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 bang, 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 doing stuff. There's your model. We need to be careful as counselors and as parents that we don't just give moral precepts without showing the one who personified them and gives us the ability to be conformed to them. In other words, it should all be Christ-centered. This is from Scripture and Counseling. Consider how to help people who suffer mistreatment. How often do we consider the Gospels passion narratives? Surely the way Jesus dealt with his arrest, trials, beatings, and crucifixions can instruct and embolden our sinned against counselees to persevere in godliness. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. We got to be pointing people to Jesus Christ, and we need to be pointing ourselves there. And we will see a change in our lives. Number three, Mark, that will change your life. Jesus' cross and resurrection should be our motivation for growth and change. This is what makes biblical counseling really unique. It is about having a power source for it, what to think on to be inspired rightly to actually do what the counselor is suggesting you should do. As we call people to practical obedience and Christian maturity, we must help them see God's grace in Jesus, the assurance of complete forgiveness, our sonship in Christ, and fresh gospel-compelled motivations to live purposely for our crucified, risen Redeemer. There's probably people sitting in your pew. You'll have to Google what those are. We used to make them for churches. Right down the aisle from you is somebody who is probably struggling with the gospel and actually importing it into their lives. And they're feeling like they got to do something to make sure that they stay saved. They got to do something in order to perhaps be saved. They got to do something in order to prove that they're saved, because they have not fully appreciated what Jesus Christ accomplished when he died and rose again. Mark number four. Jesus' presence and power as the source of spiritual strength and help. Biblical counseling has Jesus at the center. Mark number five. Jesus' return as our ultimate hope for all of our counseling problems. Oh, yeah. It's going to be better with no more tears, no more sorrow, no more hurts, no more fractured relationships. Oh, yeah. Quote, those who have been traumatized in their childhood might continue to struggle with some level of fear throughout their adult lives. Those who have been sexually active in sinful ways might continue to struggle with measures of lust. Those who are inclined toward depression might continue to battle various degrees of depression. But one day they won't. The battle will be over. And you will be a victor because Jesus was victorious. And you will have a perfect heart. You will have a perfect body. Is there any comfort in eschatology? For the chronic sufferer, for the one who has an illness that won't go away, yep, you're going to have a perfect place. You're going to have a perfect peace. You are going to have an eternity that is pretty much exactly the opposite of what it is that we endure here. The five marks have one theme, don't they? Jesus Christ. If you are currently struggling, it's almost a certainty. Now, there are some dear saints, they are really chasing after Jesus Christ hard. Most of us, we aren't running hard at all. And it will manifest itself. Because when we take our eyes off of him, we are inevitably going to crash, experience emotions, feelings, relational conflicts that can't be resolved, marital issues that just won't go away. Please don't focus on strategies. They're fine. Go ahead. Please don't focus on how to become a spouse and how to read love languages. You got that free time. Knock yourself out. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And I'm telling you, your emotions, your life, your hope, your peace, your comfort, all of it will increase because he is able to do so. Anything short of that just burns my biscuits. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.